The last week in June was as bonny a sunshiny evening as ony could want, nae a cloud in the lift as the young leaves falled to trees. A family were moving fae Green Street to Dunstan Drive, and baith the Kurtz had been hired to help with the flood. Alec Matheson left at Minnie up in Daisy's back with a chav. "Lord, sick for to waste you on his steens and your sheen," he looked, for Minnie was blooming, shod in thick leather button-up boots with heavy skirts and petticoats, for a' that the weather was warm. Off they set in the short hall up Fight Harbour. A car was coming down the way at a fair lick for a sharabang when the driver's brakes failed. There was the hech scraich of the wheels as they skated over the road, and Daisy reared, having Minnie off of his back. Alec Matheson focht with the reins, but the car careered into the right flank of the horse and broke her hind leg with a scalp. Daisy got down with a dunt and nickered and whinnied the broken bean coking clean through the skin, the reins twisted round her neck. The kirt was couped in a garden hedge, and Minnie lay quiet on her side, face down in the glary road, with a thin wee trillip of reed running out for the crook of her moo. Ned run back to the stable for Alec's gun that he while shot pheasant wee in Kilrogie Woods on his a-day half a week when he travelled home to the Troot Wallace Quarter house in Steenie's Barks. A cairn of folk had witnessed the accident and were steering about the cairt and the flailing horse like fleas. Some women were greeting in of their peenies. A wee white dog was boofing and running up and down with excitement. A sweep with a tarry face sat down his hurling brushes to see what the outcome would be. "It's a Bruce's cairt," a woman was saying, "and I think it's a Bruce's granddaughter. I think thon scalp when I killed her." "Stand back, bide back," Ned Matheson warned. "I canna leave the lassie's shelter like yon." He took careful aim and fired atween Daisy's een. The horse got limp like a sack of burst grain. The knocker would tuck her and cut her up for dogmeat. Sighing, Alec ran down the brae with Minnie in his arms and up the three steps to the Bruce's door like grease lichening, lifting the breast knocker and chopping so hard he near rugged it off of its hinges. Aunt Jessie opened the door, her face draining a colour, nae a pick of colour in her cheeks of a', when she saw her niece like yon, and led Alec up to the quiney's room, to the left of the loft, abean the dairy stable. Connolly, the young cheen, laid her down. Bleed was treatling down for a lug, and when Jessie left it a honk of black hair, the quiney's head was bruised and muttered to bleed. Minnie's een flicked it open a wee, and on a suddenty, when nae warning of her, she coaxed on down the side of the bonny white linen sheets. "The room's gone roon, Aunt Jessie," quoth she. "The room's gone roon. Your face is a' shugly. I canna mak it out." After thon, her heed fell back in the bowster, and her een shut. Alec Matheson was sent for the doctor for come right off a shilpit all man wi' a gammy fit for the heed of Fight Harbour. The doctor sought room to examine her lows and the collar round her neck as he did it. "Wi' a canal like yon, and a' this bleeding bruising, I'd say she's fractured her skull," he told Granny Bruce, snipping the catch in his doctor's bag together wi' a snap. "Leave her for 2 days to rest. Gie her a chance to come roon her sail, if she's nae ony better after thon." The doctor shook his head. Aunt Florence, Aunt Jessie and Granny took it in turns to sit with her. In fit queer country she was in during thon time, nobody ever kent, but for certain it was na ony way near Desloch Place, or even Steenhillock Farm. On the second night, when the paraffin lamp was flickering low and the shadows were hech in the wa' of her wee attic room, Minnie's een blinked open a thochty. Aunt Florence was sitting in a chair aside the bed, clean foonered, just starting to nod in her sleep, an open book in her lap, sliding down her skirt into the folds of her frock. Minnie Bruce had a visitor. "He stood at the end of her bed," her father, for she kent right off it was him, "and yet it wasna him she'd ever kent him afore, for he was clad in licht fae heed to foon, and smiling, raxing his arms oot till her, och, and tall he was, sae hech he fault the room. And if love can stand yakket and bear o' a' but licht, It falt thon room that nicht, uninfalded and bore her up and smeeth the hair that stuck to her brew was swite. And habit her roon and roon fit top to tail, for elke pick o' her body was precious to him, like his ain sail. Forever ye gyang, I shall gyang, quo the chiel in the licht. Forever ye bide, I shall bide. Thy folk shall be my folk, and my God yours. At her father's back was a ladder. Was yon nae the queerest thing? A ladder of pure licht, that rocks for the fit o' her bed, and up through the reef of the house, through the top of the sleeping toon, hech, hech, till it reached the starnies that glinted hein ya wa at the back of the mean. She fell into a deep sleep after yon, and when it was by, she was better. There was nae mair mournin' for the parks o' Steenhillock. The low in the hearth o' thon place had been her father's love, and he'd come back himself to the grave to pledge that she'd aye hae thon, forever she gaed, aye, in the dreichest, callest holes of fated sail. But she never telt Aunt Jessie, Aunt Florence, nor Granny, fa stood at the fit o' her bed thon nicht, nor yet fit guise he took, for it lay ower deep for kennin' in the mortal why. She vowed that when she was weel eneugh, she would mak guidy so her talents, ta content to the teaching o' the saint, fa shone for the wa in the Macher Kirk, for the glorious sun poured through the great stained window, her father's namesake in the world, a been the world. Bit by bit, Matthew Bruce had fashioned a suit of armour for Minnie that was her faith, and now was fairly the time to put it on. And so hard and fierce and brecht was yon armour, foo strong it gart her feel, for nothing of a could ever pierce thon certainties. Foo fine to hear road mapped out afore ye, a pilgrim wi' a sword for ilkie dragon. Tak the ribbons for a' your hair, bonnie lassie-o, and let doon your braided hair, bonnie lassie-o. Tak the ribbons for a' your hair, for life's nocht but grief and care. Tak the ribbons for a' your hair, bonnie lassie-o.